You know, I've never been able to fathom or to determine why people wouldn't want to follow Jesus. I mean, after all, our Lord God in heaven has made provision for us after provision. And you and I have the opportunity tonight to glorify our God in our Bible study as we peruse the pages of God's eternal word. You know, every one of us make choices in life. But how do we go about making the right choices that really are going to affect our lives? Choices. George Jones sang a song several years ago entitled Choices, and that was what it was all about. Good choices, bad choices. And every day, think about it right now, how many choices have you made today? When you got up out of bed, you chose when you got out of bed, did you not? Maybe you chose where you were going to go worship God today, and you made the choice to come here, which was the wise choice. Maybe you made the choice as to where you were going to go eat after lunch or after the worship service this morning. Where did you go for lunch? It was your choice, or was it someone else's? We make all kinds of choices in life, but the unfortunate thing is that sometimes we make unwise choices, and I want to give you a little criteria tonight to help you be able to determine what is a wise choice and what is an unwise choice. There's just a multiple series of choices that are made in a daytime. Life is the sum, someone said, of all your choices. We are what we choose in life. Always do your best to make the right choice, and always do your best to learn from the wrong ones. You know, sometimes people can make bad choices and they never learn. They don't. They just keep on making the same bad choice over and over and over. But if you could really just put it all together tonight, you could say that we are about choices in life, many of them. Every single day you can look out your window and either complain that it's hot or that it's going to be a bad day, or you can look out your window and smile and think about all the wonderful blessings that God has given unto you. That is, we ought to look on the bright side. Have you ever heard anyone say that? Stay away from people who drain your energy and who crush your dreams and those who steal your sunshine. I wish we could get that on the sign, Dwight. I'm not sure. It may be a little bit long. Dwight does a great job, doesn't he? I mean, he really, really does. I hear people every week talk about those signs, and I think it probably is one of the most important things that we do. Now, there is a right way and a wrong way, and what you choose will determine the outcome. The world and your friends may applaud your choice, but the question is, does God applaud my choice? Is he pleased with me and my life? We need to understand that there is certain criteria that needs to be made, and we have to weigh all of that in light of the choices that we make. You can't stay in the middle. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. So when you don't make a choice to follow Christ, you have made a choice to follow the demonic spirits of this world. Well, let's talk about the criteria. First of all, the question should be, is it scriptural? You know, a lot of times people call upon us to do a lot of things, and sometimes we're not real sure whether it's the scriptural thing to do or not. It just may be wrong. And how would you know if you didn't read the Holy Scriptures? We read the Bible to find out. We should ask ourselves the question, is there a specific command or prohibition about getting involved in what we get involved in life? Or perhaps this one, is there a principle that applies here? You know, even though we have the commands of God, there are some things we read in the Bible that are principally true that may not necessarily be a command of God, but the principle is there, and we must follow it if it is established as that which is scriptural. And then the question, is there an example that I could follow? You know, I always look at that. People ask me questions all the time about certain things. Do you think it would be wrong for me to do this, or you think this is what I ought to do? And I always go back and I'd say, there is a principle that applies, and is there an example that you can follow? And I believe that we can. You see, the God of heaven hath not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of love and of a sound mind. And those are things that we ought to be sharing with the world around us. And it's so important that we do it because they may not hear it anywhere else. But there's a second thing, and I like to call it criteria. You could call it whatever you want to, but will it edify my brethren? Always think about that one. Will it edify? Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23 and also verse 24. He said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things do not edify. And let no man seek his own, but every man another man's or another's wealth. Now, if you, pardon me, if you were listening to what Paul says, he says all things are lawful, but it may not be expedient. It may not be the right time to do it. It may not be the right thing at all to engage in it. But when we read the Bible, we understand from Romans 14 and verse 19, he said, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another. Do you know what it means to edify? It means to build up. A lot of people want to tear down, but we ought to be people that build up. We were singing that song this morning, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And that's where we ought to be living, on higher ground. Let's do away with the things that destroy peace and focus on the things that will enhance it and edify one another. And that, to me, really is an important thing when we talk about choices that are made. You will face maybe choices tomorrow you have not even faced before. You may have a problem with your automobile, and you may say, oh my goodness, I've never had this problem. What do I need to do? And Mike Whitley would say, bring it into Whitley Garage. Now, but you have a lot of choices in life. What is the long-term effect? That's another thing. A lot of people think short-term, do they not? They think, well, you know, it's not going to hurt anybody, and so if it doesn't hurt anybody, that makes it all right. But do you think about the long-term effect? You know, just consider that a minute. You know, a lot of people, I must say, in our world today that are Christians, go and watch R-rated movies at the theater. And I don't watch movies very seldom at all. But I guess my question is why would you want to go to a movie that is denouncing God and using adjectives like damn or darn after the word Christ? But we have a lot of people that feed on that sort of thing. But, and if, what happens if maybe you're a teacher in Bible class and one of your young students sees you there or saw you going in? What would they think? What would they think? 2 Peter 1, 9 says, but he that lacketh these things is blind, and he cannot see afar off, and he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. We have a way of forgetting, but we ought to think about the long-term effect before you make a choice in life. It is important. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen, he says, are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Most of us build our choice on things that are temporal. We think about what we're going to do today or maybe what we're going to do tomorrow, but we don't think about it down the road or the long haul, as we say. And sometimes people cannot make a choice because they are too confused by many that are in the world around us. Everything in your life is a reflection of a choice that you have made. Think about it. You are with the one tonight that you married. Many of you are. And it was a choice that you made years ago. We should weigh that choice in light of what the Scripture actually teaches. You know, every Sunday morning, people shouldn't have to make a choice as to where they're going to go to Bible class or where they're going to go to worship. You know, I made that choice many, many years ago. Actually, I made it as a child at age 13. When, like Jacob, who came this morning to confess his faith in Christ and to be baptized for the remission of sins, I did the same thing. And I have never looked back. And I have always looked at it from the long haul. I want to be the right kind of example. I don't want anyone to make a missed call about my life. We must make a difference, but you can do it with your choice. How will it affect my influence? Think about that one. How will it affect your influence in life? Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. I want to be remembered for my love for the church, for my love for my family, for my love for our great country, the United States of America, and not for money, not for things. You have an opportunity tonight to make that decision. Am I going to allow my influence to be felt for good, or will it be bad? Many in our world tonight are being influenced by your life, whether you believe that or not. And so the power of choice is so important. How will it affect my influence? Well, Matthew 5:13 says, Jesus speaking, he said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its ability to save or to preserve, that's what he's saying, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of mankind. We must get the salt out of the container. You know, we come to worship on Sunday. Think about that. And we worship God. And what a joy and blessing it is and a privilege to be able to call upon our God and glorify His wonderful name. But you know what? We are in the container tonight. We are salt in the container. But we have to get out of the container and go out into the world and be the influence that God has called upon us to be. But fifthly, I ask you this question tonight when I think about criteria. Is it the best? You know, I've always wanted to do the best. And Philippians 1:9-10, Paul writes, and this I pray, that your love may abound, yet, he says, more and more to knowledge and in all judgment, he says, that you may approve things that are excellent, that it may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Paul's calling for excellency on the part of those of us who are children of God. But that, you know, one of those choices that you make obviously will be affected by this one. Always do what is best. And I know sometimes people wrestle with that when they say, well, I'm not real sure what is best. But go back with the rest of the criteria that we've always talked about, and you might be able to figure out what it means to do your best in life. And then, of course, we need to ask ourselves, will it glorify God? Would it glorify God? Would you want to take God into an R-rated movie with you? Would you feel comfort doing that? or engaging in any kind of immorality, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of Almighty God. Make sure God placed you here for that one purpose, and that is to glorify God. And so therefore we should live our lives consistent with that. Listen to Christ. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify those who let their light shine. No. He says, let your light shine that they may glorify your God who is in heaven. We don't live for any particular accolades to ourselves. We don't want the praise of men. That's not what it's about. But our life should be based upon glorifying God in all things. And that is the purpose of life, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians. He mentions that. But how to make the right choice? Is it lawful? If it's lawful, if it's right with God, it's okay. Will it edify one another? That's a tough one, isn't it? But will it build each other up? What if, and here again, we're preaching to the choir here tonight. But let's say, for instance, that you come on a Sunday morning and someone who has recently been baptized is thinking about your life, what a great individual you are and what a great example you are, and they come on Sunday night and you're not here, or on Wednesday night and you don't show up. What is that saying to that young person? I hope that this young boy, Jacob, that came this morning and committed his life to Christ, grows up to be a preacher of the gospel. I've had a lot of young people that have told me that that's what they're going to do. And I hope and pray that I, as an individual, would have an influence upon those young men that they would do it. But number three, what will be the long-term effect of what you do? You know, I can remember some people growing up as a young boy in Hallsville, Texas. And I can remember some that were extremely faithful, and they served to be a tremendous example to me. But I also remember those that were not faithful to God. They didn't come to worship. They didn't talk about Jesus in their conversation with other people. Jesus was far away from their conversation. But then number four, how will it affect my influence? I want to be an influence for good. Jesus lived that way. And the Bible says of him in Acts chapter 10 and 38 that he went about doing good. And is it the best thing to do? You know, sometimes we all make calculations and choices, and maybe we don't base it on all of this criteria, but it is so important. And then will it glorify God? We all have to make decisions in life. I don't care who we are. We had best make sure that the decisions that we make follow the criteria that is given by God. And first of all, folks, I didn't come up with that criteria. God did. Go back and read your Bible. Are you confronted with a decision right now? You could be. And you're going to be called upon tomorrow to make a choice. You just might need the prayers of the church to help you make that right decision. Or you may be here tonight as one who's never named the name of Jesus. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful to close out this day with your baptism into Christ for the remission of your sins? That is a choice that you must make. And it's a choice I call upon you to make while we stand and while we sing.